The question is, why then circumcision? It was required under the old covenant. Now, what if a child were circumcised on the eighth day according to the law the way it should be? The Jews were claiming that if he was circumcised on that day, God had to. God was indebted to this person and give them salvation. And that was the heresy that was going through the church. See? That's why Paul later stressed the circumcision which is in Christ, in your mind. That's what needs to be circumcised. See? That's every human mind. And that's why Paul is saying, those who want to be circumcised, look, it doesn't do anything for salvation. Now let's go on and read it. Or in Christ. In Christ. That is, to have Christ, okay, or for Christ to have you. Neither circumcision is of any force, nor uncircumcision. You're not going to force God, you're not going to have any power over God because of circumcision, okay? But faith by love working. I want you to know how I mark that working. See how I put that little box around the first two letters, E-N? That means the inner working of love in you by faith is what brings you salvation, not circumcision. That's what he's talking about there. Verse 7. You were running well, because we all have to run the race of salvation. Who hindered you? The truth not to obey. And what was the truth? They weren't looking to Christ. They were looking to the physical things. The persuasion is not out of, what do we have here? That's verse 8. This persuasion comes not out of him who calls you. Yes, that's what it means here. The persuasion of this kind is not of him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now we're back to what? Leaven and sin, or taking you away from Christ is also sin. Okay? For I'm persuaded as to you in the Lord that you have that you will have no other mind. And he who is troubling you shall bear the judgment, whosoever he may be. Now Paul didn't name the man, but whoever it was that was doing this. Okay. Now verse 11. But I, brethren, if circumcision, now notice I put a little notation in there, as the requirement for salvation, I yet proclaim. Because that's what we're talking about. But if I, brethren, yet proclaim circumcision, why am I persecuted? And I put the little insertion by the Jews. Remember what happened to him? They ran him out of town. They started riots against him. Okay? Then has been done away the offense of the cross. I would that they would even cut themselves off who throw you into confusion. Okay? Okay, now let's go back up here to the one, the offense of the cross. There's a notation which did not come on the copy. Okay? Let's take that one phrase again. Then has been done away the offense of the cross if he proclaim circumcision. Now I put this note here because Christ would not be Messiah. Because Christ would not be Messiah, what would be salvation? Circumcision. If circumcision were salvation, what need for Christ? None. So they were trying to substitute law-keeping and circumcision intermixed with paganism as a substitute for Christ and still claiming they had salvation. Never worked, never worked, never worked. Okay? Verse 12. 12. We'll read that again. For I would that they who are causing all of the throwing you into confusion would cut themselves off. Not very kindly statement. Okay? Verse 13. For you, for freedom you are called, brethren, only use not the freedom as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's how it needs to be. And I might mention that in our past experience some years ago, what was the main ingredient that was missing within the congregation? What holds a congregation together? Law? No. Force? No. Rulership? No. Love. Love. Love, brethren, holds it together. Love where? In a working within you. Okay? Now we start coming back to the simplicity of Christ. Okay? For the whole law, in one word, is fulfilled. Now the word, I made the notation, is logos or logo in this case, which means saying, in this one saying. Okay? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That doesn't mean that's all there is. Just that, you have to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. As we come down toward the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's the whole meaning of the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being, and your neighbor as yourself, and love the brethren as your own family. That's what God wants. That's what makes it go. Okay? But if one another you bite and devour, ooh, I have experienced that, right? Haven't you experienced that? Yes. Okay? Take heed that you are not consumed by one another. Has that happened? Have people's lives been consumed by backbiting, backstabbing, trying to run people's lives for them? I just heard of an occasion talking to the brethren back in Detroit. One man came to work where one of the people that, one man back there who receives our tapes and is following what we're doing, someone else new came to work, and lo and behold, this person was in the church that he left. So the minister came and told the man that was newly hired that he couldn't work there because he was working alongside someone who had supposedly left the church. A work of a law, correct? The minister's law, which says, thou shalt not work alongside someone we don't approve of. What if that person loves God more than the minister? I mean, who is he? You see? You see what I mean? You cannot have this overbearing thing on you when you realize that it's Christ, not a man. So that's what they're doing. You devour, you backbite, you bite and devour each other. Take heed to be consumed, not one another. Verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, or by the Spirit walk, and you shall not fulfill the flesh desire, the lust of the flesh. That is true. How can you overcome lust? By filling your mind with the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God lead you. What happens when you sin? Always repent and put yourself under the blood of Christ, under the grace of God, and go forward. That's how to do it. Okay? Are any of us here fulfilling the desire of the flesh? The lust of the flesh? No, we're not. We're being led by God's Spirit. That doesn't mean we're not trying to overcome. That doesn't mean we're perfect. But, you know, I've heard of congregations where they've had wife swapping in the congregation and then legally justify it by letting them divorce and marry each other. Okay? Lust runs free. I've heard of church leaders going out and committing adultery ad infinitum, right? I've heard of church leaders taking church money and buying the most expensive of everything else while crying, wolf, wolf, we're running out of money, right? Okay? Perfect examples. Okay. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, or as it is in the interlinear, desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these things are opposed to one another. Might put in your margin there, Romans 7. Same thing. That not whatsoever you may wish those things you do. In other words, it's very awkward. That's why not everything in Greek. As that you cannot do the things that you desire or would. That's what it means. You read it in the King James right on the margin there. Okay? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Or you're not under law. Notice the word does is not there. So what I did, I made a little box on this, and I put down in the corner, you are not under law for justification. And I drew the line clear up around to the top, whosoever in law are being justified. Okay? If you're led by Christ, if you're fulfilling the things that ought to be, then you are not under law for justification, but Christ. Okay. Now, we are through all the difficult parts. That is all the difficult parts in Galatians. Believe it or not. Now, I know that this has been very laborious to go through it. I know that it has been a detailed study to go through, brother. And I do really sincerely appreciate your patience. And I know in some cases it has been brain straining to do so. But you've gotten through it, and just think how much you understand. And I'll have to say that this has been the most thorough and in-depth study that I have ever done as a minister. Okay, let's continue on and finish the verse here. Okay, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, or manifest now are the works of the flesh, which are adultery. And that's one of the biggest problems in the world, correct? Yes, 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 yes. Okay? Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness or license, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strifes, jealousies, indignation, contentions, divisions, sects, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelry, and such like things, as to which I tell you beforehand, or beforehand I tell you, even as I also told you before, that they such things do, God's kingdom shall not inherit. So it's very clear. He's telling very clear, you can't go sin. You can't go do the things in the world. You can't go out and do all these miserable and abominable things and say we are delivered to do them, wipe your mouth clean from all the swill that you are into, and say, God, I am circumcised, therefore you are indebted to give me salvation. Okay, now it sounds ridiculous at this point to even state that, but that's the sum of it. Okay, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's what we're going to concentrate on during this Feast of Unleavened Bread, the very love of God, the very love we need to have, and the very love for each other that keeps everything going. That's what really makes it go, brethren, that love and respect and kindness and understanding that comes from God's Spirit. Now, that's not to say that you aren't human. That is not to say that you might not have anger. Some people think that a Christian should not have any anger. That's ridiculous. Did Jesus have anger? Yes. He even healed in anger. What does the Bible say? A sharp tongue stops the laggard, right? Okay. Balance it out. See? Okay. Which is love and joy and peace. I'll have to say, in our little old church, we have peace. Our no-hassle church, we have peace. Yay, peace. I want peace more than anything else. Okay? All right? I long for peace. Okay? Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness. Okay? Self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I mean, what law are you going to create against that? To say you're breaking it and you're sinning? None. Absolutely none. But they that are of Christ, the flesh with the passions and its desires, have crucified. How do you crucify that? Your whole life. Let's go to Luke 14. Luke 14. Let's turn there. Okay, Luke 14 and verse 25. Luke 14 and verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said to them, "Oh, you lovely people, I'm so glad you're following me. I am the Son of Christ." No. He turned to them and said, "If any come to me and hate not his father," that is, love God more in comparison to his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. It means it's impossible. And whosoever does not bear his cross, that's what it means to be crucified with Christ. You've crucified those things. You bear your cross and come after me cannot, means in the Greek, impossible, be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower and so forth? Okay? Now let's go back to Galatians again. Dear Christ, you have crucified the passions and the lust of the flesh. If you're married, stay married to your one wife. All of your life, that's it. Have no lust toward any other woman, no lust toward any other man. If it is that you have something, do it lawfully, seek it legally, do it properly. If you make any mistakes, then change and work it out. Repent to God. Okay? Verse 25. If we live by the Spirit also we should walk. That's how it should be. Verse 26. Very good in the interlinear here. We should not become vainglorious, one another provoking, one another envying. And boy, have you seen a church run on vainglory? Yes, you have. Yes, you have. That's why we're here. There. Okay? Now, chapter 6 and verse 1. Let's just go right on. I think we can finish the entire thing. Verse 1, brethren, if even a man be taken in some offense, you, the spiritual ones, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. That is, if they are willing to listen. If they're not willing to listen, then you let them know very firmly. Okay? Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Because why? We all have the weakness of the flesh. And it says, one another burdens bear, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Interesting statement, isn't it? The law of the Christ? That'd be interesting for a sermon sometime, wouldn't it? What is the law of the Christ? Okay? For if anyone thinks himself to be something, being nothing, he deceives himself. That means anyone should not think himself to be something, because after all, he's really only nothing. All of us as human beings compared to God are nothing. We are nothing. So what if a person's greatest potentate in the world, if they don't have Christ, they're nothing. They're absolutely nothing. You don't come along and say, "Oh, let me show you how to do it. I'm thus and such, and I'm better than you, so I'll show you how to do this." Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Not the way. Okay? When I first read that, and I think I've mentioned this before, when I read it, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But then, first time I read it, and I said, if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But he doesn't deceive himself if he's really something. You talk about reasoning in a circle, right? Right. Okay. Verse 4. But the work work of himself, let each man prove, or let each man prove his own work. And then as to himself alone, let him have his own boasting. Okay? And not as to another. And who's that boasting going to be? It's going to be in Christ. You know? Jesus said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And the boasting ought to be is in the mercy of God, glory of God. For each, let's see, for every man shall bear his own burden. Well, it says load here. Now, mine looks like lead. I couldn't figure out how lead got in that. For each will bear his own lead. Ghastly. That doesn't mean his own load. Okay. Verse 6. Okay. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. It's really awkward there in the interlinear. Be not misled. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man may sow, that also shall he reap. For if he sows to his own flesh, from the flesh shall he reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit shall he reap life eternal. But in well-doing. Now we'll switch over to the King James because we ran out of the pages of the interlinear. Okay, now verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, or that is, if we don't get weak and give up. As you have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer the persecution of the cross of Christ. Okay, now they were trying to avoid persecution by the Jews. Okay, it's like someone trying to go out here and receive the adulation of the Catholic priest, you know, or the Orthodox priest, or the Buddha priest. I mean, we've got them everywhere now, no? All kinds of priests, all kinds of religions. Who would have thought of it? They're making some great big, where's this big Buddha temple they're making somewhere? Is it close at hand, or is it L.A.? Fremont, that's it. Fremont, a great, big, huge Buddhist temple. Big one. That's because of all the Japanese moving in from Japan into Fremont. Okay? Yeah, a lot of Americans are. Who's the famous ex-governor of California who follows Zen Buddhism and going to save the world? Jerry Brown. Buddhism is one of the religions of the world which says that you can save yourself through your own works of meditation. That is a work of a law. Okay? See how you can apply that? A work of a law does not save you. It is Christ who saves you. Okay, let's go on now. Okay, verse 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Look at the proselytes we have. Look how many were converted. How do you know they're converted? Okay. Have you heard that before? Yes, you've heard that before. Verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Very profound statement, buried way back, almost at the end of the book of Galatians. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. That is a new creation in Christ, which is what? Christ formed in you. That is it. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace unto them and mercy upon the Israel of God, which is the church. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So we've gotten through the most difficult book in the entirety of the Bible. Now we need to get back to some of the things concerning love and joy and peace and those things that bring that. But I hope, brethren, that you really understand through this the whole operation of Christ and salvation even more. I hope you do. I may have some other supplemental things to add to it in the way of some printed material. I'll see if I can get those here in the next couple of weeks.